What did Donald Trump say to his wife Melania Trump during the inauguration to make her react in this way? This is a very visual segment, so if you're listening to the podcast or the radio show, please check out the YouTube clip for this, because the visual aspect to this is everything. People emailing me saying, David, did you notice Donald Trump's demeanor towards Melania Trump during the inauguration? He just seems like a horrible person. And we have now isolated a little bit of video where it is clear Melania Trump, we can start playing it for people, Pat. Melania Trump is smiling and Donald Trump turns to her and he says something, and the look on her face is just, it's soul crushing. It is absolutely soul crushing. And we don't know what it is that Trump said to her. Trump clearly said something that it just looked like it got to the heart of her soul, Pat, and just destroyed her. And to be willing to do something like this in public says an insane amount about Donald Trump. And I showed the video to many women and they said, David, that's the look of a woman who is very afraid. And compare now this side by side of how President Obama and Michelle Obama related to each other during the inauguration, and keep an eye on Trump and Melania, who genuinely might hate each other from what it looks like here. Let's take a look at this video, and you'll just notice such a drastically different demeanor as Michelle Obama shows up next to her husband, and Trump, I mean, he just looks barely even pleased to see his wife. And Trump is just sort of rude to his wife constantly. Here he is walking in front of and away from her on inauguration day, and Michelle and Barack Obama had to sort of save her and say, here, we'll escort you in. We'll take a look at that clip as well. Donald Trump just sort of turning around and saying, hey, okay, I'm the president, I'm walking in. Melania Trump just totally left behind, and Barack and Michelle Obama, they're having to escort her in. And then again, let's look one more time, a few times here, at the Trump Melania video. Trump turning, he says something to her and her smile just disappears, and she looks a combination of scared, sad, embarrassed, and ashamed. What could Trump have possibly said to her there? When you see this video, do you think it's more likely or less likely that the countless sexual assault allegations about Donald Trump are true? He just genuinely doesn't seem like a nice guy, does he?
Yeah, it could have been just a quick insult or some kind of quick comment. I mean, these people are on film for the entire day there, so yeah. I think sometimes these pictures and video clips can be deceiving, but I think you can kind of recognize a look when you see one.
Yeah, I mean, when you are on the world stage and you turn to your wife and say something that visibly crushes her soul in this way, what are you doing in private? That's the question that I come away with.
The man's name is David Pacman, A-C-M-A-N. Video is called Melania's Soul on YouTube. Check it out. Because if you check it out, you're going to see, like, I don't know what Donald said to her. I think he turned around and said, oh, and by the way, you look horrible, because that's just his personality. Anyway, you listen to The Fuse with a Twist. My name is JDR on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, on Podomatic.com. John Robinson at yourwriterscafe.org. Power Quant at your-poetry.com. We're on, we're on SoundCloud and Pinterest. I don't know what kind of president we have, folks. I didn't vote for him. But you have to watch that video. They obviously do not get along. Anyway, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Have you ever wondered if you watched the snow long enough, what stories it might tell? There is someone who has done it. His name is Billy Barr.
I spell it small B-I-L-L-Y, small B-A-R-R.
Some people call him the Snow Guardian. He lives in a cabin out in the woods.
Picture this. It's a snowy day, it's dark and cold, and you make a fire and you're sitting by the fire and you're reading with a cup of tea, and it goes on for 9 months.
Billy lives alone in this house he helped build. Here he grows his garden, has an impressive hat collection, loves cricket, and dreams of Bollywood. Every couple of weeks, he skis back into the nearest town for supplies. He's been doing this for more than 40 winters. But Billy does a little more than just read and drink tea. For those 40 winters, Billy has kept a meticulous record of snow in his little part of the world.
Okay, mark it's at February 26, 1978, 10 and a half inches of snow that day. January 20th, minus 11 and a half. April 28th, 1980, high was 41. Ooh, that sounds nice. 1997, 1/2 inch new snow. A weasel was roaming around inside the shack. Damn, the birds were back. I lived in an 8x10 foot old shack and had no electricity, no water, and I had nothing. I mean, I was just there all day. The main thing I interacted with was the weather and the animals. So I started recording things just because it was something to do. I had nothing to prove, no goals, no anything. So actually, a researcher at the lab wanted to look at it. And then once he started looking at it scientifically, then all of a sudden, like, these decades worth of data were being used for more than my own curiosity.
Billy has done this every day, twice a day, all winter long.
I'd keep going until the snow was gone. And if it snowed, I would record that no matter when. The trend I see is that we're getting a permanent snowpack later and we get to bare ground sooner. We'll have years where there was a lot of snow on the ground and then we lost snow sooner than years that had a lot less snow just because it's a lot warmer now.
In a normal winter, you'd expect to have 4 to 5 record high temperatures. Last year, Billy recorded 36.
Not only is it a lot warmer, we're getting a lot of dust blowing in. As soon as you get dust on the snow, it melts like that. You're talking about the snowpack, the water supply for most of the Southwest. I'm not real hopeful just because I don't know how you reverse something like that.
As we leave Colorado behind, Billy imparts one last bit of advice.
It's like anything else. You know, I learned to ski to get around. I learned how to ski better so I wouldn't fall down all the time. Over a period of time, I kind of learned how to survive in this environment. Actually, learning to fall is probably the most important thing. You're going to fall, sit. A lot easier falling on your butt than on your face.
Living off the grid. I mean, like living in the woods, you know, with nature and all the animals, not paying taxes anymore, not having to deal with the hustle and bustle of life, just living somewhere in a cabin somewhere, and just, you know, off the grid, which you can do in America because there's just so many places where you can just hide out, you know, and just disappear practically, even though you're not really gone, but you're gone. I've thought about it. And if I didn't have 3 fur babies and this life that I'm now trapped in, basically, I'd probably go off the grid. That man was 40 years off the grid living in the woods. 40 years. That's amazing. I mean, it's just amazing that he could do that. You know, I commend him for it. I actually wish I could do that. I can't do that. I can't give up my life right now. I can't give up my, I wouldn't give up my fur babies, number one. And I don't know. Listen, because sometimes, man, this life, especially in New York, because I'm recording from Jamaica, Queens, New York. So many people, you get on crowded trains, you know, forget the, you know, the Second Avenue subway. Listen, the trains are still crowded. You have so much to pay and rents go up and prices go up and you wonder to yourself, what am I doing here? You get up every morning, you go to work, same old job that you probably don't even like, but you have to do it because you have to feed yourself or your kids or whatever. You have to maintain stability. But a lot of people are frustrated with maintaining stability because you really don't have a life. You get up, you go to work, you come back home, you got to do this and that and da. You get up the next morning, you go to work, you come back home, you got to da. And it's the same routine. Day in, day out. Some people are happy with it. Well, I mean, you know, some people have really great jobs. You know, I used to work, you know, in the Americas building with, what was the name of that thing? Nomura, which was, these guys were stockbrokers, basically. And on every floor, there's nothing but rows and rows of people sitting behind computers. Some have like 3 or 4 monitors. I think there's a few that have like 6 monitors. You know, it's not like the stock market where they're all shouting at each other. These guys are on the computer. You know, they might have a headphone mic. And they're talking, and every now and then somebody will yell to someone else something. But, you know, basically they would just all come. And that's their day in and day out thing. You know, they make tons of money for it. And, you know, they can have good vacations, cars, and houses. And, you know, in their opinion, they're living the American dream. But what exactly is the American dream? I don't know. I'm not pursuing anything called the American dream. I'm just trying to live a happy life any way I can. And let me tell you something. If I was able to live off the grid, I think I got away from the microphone a little bit. If I was able to live off the grid, I would abandon society and just live alone in the woods with a bunch of wild animals, chill out, eat whatever nature gives me, and that's it. I'd throw away my ID card. I'd throw away every damn thing in my, I'd throw away my wallet. I'd throw away my cell phone. I wouldn't need any of this crap. I would just live like, you know, Daniel Boone. Anyway, you're listening to Views with a Twist. I'll be back.
The way I always do. How was I to know she was with the Russians too? I was gambling in Havana. I took a little risk. Send lawyers, guns and money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha! I'm the innocent bystander. Somehow I got stuck between a rock and a hard place, and I'm down on my luck. Yes, I'm down on my luck. Well, I'm down on my luck. I'm hiding in Honduras. I'm a desperate man. Send lawyers, guns and money. The shit has hit the fan. Guns and money. Send lawyers, guns and money. Send lawyers, guns and money. Guns and money. Ow! Yeah. Yeah.
Her dad was murdered. That's the sensational claim being made by Michael Jackson's daughter, Paris, who tells Rolling Stone magazine her father would drop hints about people being out to get him, and at some point he was like, they're gonna kill me one day. The magazine says 18-year-old Paris is convinced that her dad was somehow murdered. Absolutely, she says, because it's obvious. All arrows point to that. It sounds like a total conspiracy theory, but all real fans and everybody in the family knows it. It was a setup.
Okay, folks, I don't want to say that Paris is blowing hot air, but she's blowing hot air. Before you make an accusation such as that, you have to have a lot more evidence than just, well, he felt that people were out to get him. He felt that they would kill him one day. Well, I can... Yeah, and? Give me some evidence that says that they did it. give me some evidence that says that that doctor actually slowly killed him on purpose. I mean, the doctor was putting he was put into prison for it. You know, and he'll probably lose his doctor's license. So what else do you want, Paris? Is this a Kardashian thing? Is that what you're doing? Is this a Kardashian thing? Are you going to make a reality show next? Is that what this is about? Because, I mean, you know, just to come out and just make some random accusation, which it is random, because there's no evidence. There's no absolute proof. The doctor that treated Michael Jackson was put into jail. So what else do you want? I don't understand why you even come out and say stuff like that. The doctor was put in jail. Who else are you going to claim wanted to kill Michael Jackson? Who else are you going to claim was involved in his, and I put this in quotes, his murder? You got to have some sort of evidence. You got to give me something. You just can't come out with crap like that. Ah, jeez. Give me a damn break. Anyway, folks, this is Views with a Twist on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS. Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org. Tawaquan at your-poetry.com. We're on SoundCloud and Pinterest. And, yeah. I'll be back.
A divorce lawyer is meeting with a female client, but you've never seen an attorney behave like this guy.
1, 2, 3, sleep.
He's using hypnosis to prey on women who are in a vulnerable time in their lives.
As I rock you gently, the deepness of that sleep gets even better, more relaxed. Every part of you goes away. 1, 2, 3, blink.
Listen how lurid he gets.
When you look into my eyes, you're going to feel such attraction and arousal.
And how's this for creepy?
And have you missed me?
Attorney Michael Fine told clients he was using hypnosis as a relaxation technique as they discussed their divorce. Right. A session would start like this.
Let's take a deep breath. One more time. Okay, I gotta calm down. Let's do this together. You're gonna feel a wave of relaxation.
But as this secretly recorded video shows, once this unsuspecting woman came under his spell, he implanted lewd suggestions.
Every time I touch you, it's going to be an incredible sensation of incredible arousal and excitement and intense pleasure.
Some of the conversation is too raunchy to air.
It just makes me sick knowing that that's the kind of stuff that went on.
Melissa, who asked us not to use her last name, says she was also taken advantage of by Fine.
When you'd come out of these meetings, were you aware of being quote-unquote unconscious or quote-unquote in that state?
Imagine sitting down and watching TV, and then you stand up, and why are your pants unzipped? Why is your shirt tucked out of your pants?
Fine's creepy deeds were exposed when a client wondered why her clothing was disheveled after a visit to his office outside Cleveland. She went to cops and agreed to take a hidden camera the next time she consulted him. Fine puts her under, and the inappropriate behavior begins.
Your entire body is a vessel of pleasure.
But cops are listening in, and Fine's Svengali routine is about to come to a sudden end.
Police officers, step over here.
Yes, sir.
Don't touch anything. Right. Don't just sit down.
Fine pleaded guilty to charges of kidnapping and attempted kidnapping involving 6 women. Laura Mills is Melissa's attorney.
He took these women at their most vulnerable point in their lives, and he abused their trust. He's a predator.
1, 2, 3, sleep.
Let me ask the ladies out there a question. Why? You're so smart, so intelligent, but you can be so gullible and so naive. You write letters to prisoners that have a life sentence or even a death sentence. There's one woman that writes to Charles Manson. I think she wanted to, did she want to marry him? I know there was one guy that's not going to ever get out of jail, and there was some chick that wanted to marry him. You pay money, you loan money to deadbeats, money that you know you're not going to get back. You stay in abusive relationships, and you let a lawyer hypnotize you. I am not letting no goddamn lawyer hypnotize me. That is just not protocol. How the hell is a lawyer hypnotizing me? If a lawyer said, why is a lawyer hypnotizing you? To do what? What kind of information is that person looking for? That he has to hypnotize you. He's a lawyer. You sit there, you tell him your problem, done. If he says, okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put you under hypnosis so I can get a little more information. You know what? At that moment, I would say what? I would say, listen, what are you, some sort of freak? I'm not letting you hypnotize me. I mean, they couldn't hypnotize me anyway because I don't fall for that shit. But, ladies, come on. Give me a break. Because the thing, what I don't like is this. You let yourself fall into this trap, and then afterwards you want to sue. You want the person thrown in jail. Well, listen, if you're dumb enough to fall for some bullshit like that, don't wake up and say, oh my God, I've been raped. What did you think was going to happen if a lawyer is going to hypnotize, if a doctor is going to hypnotize you? If it's not a psychiatrist or a hypnotist, or if you are not aware that you are going to be hypnotized by this individual, but you let it happen, then don't complain about it afterwards. Don't complain about it afterwards. What's done is done. You fell for the trap. It's like you give $100,000 to some deadbeat who's been beating up on you for 10 years. Did I say $100,000? Let's not go that far. But listen. I've watched Dr. Phil, and there are many women that fall for this Nigeria thing. I wanted to say Nigeria because that's the German word. The Nigeria thing where somebody pretends, some Nigerian guy, pretends to be some white guy who is wealthy, but overseas somewhere and is trapped and has problems and needs money. And what do? You funnel money. I've watched this on Dr. Phil. They funnel like $100,000, $500,000 to a person that doesn't even exist. It's going to some Nigerian person that's partying with your cash. And you're saying, well, he loves me. Yeah, he sends me photos. Yeah, he's stuck in Nigeria. They won't let him out unless he has $50,000. Because of whatever. Let me tell you something, ladies. If you're going to go that route, send money to me. Because I'm going to be straightforward. I ain't paying you back. I'll pay you back when I got the cash. If I ain't got the cash, you ain't getting paid back. I'm telling you straightforward. I'm not doing that dumb shit. But you're doing that dumb shit. And then all of a sudden, we're supposed to have empathy? I'm sorry, no. You're too smart for that, and you know you're too smart for that. But yet, you let it happen. Is there something in the genes of a female that just lets them become idiots? Gullible people? That just do stuff like this? I'd like to know. I'd really like to know. Anyway, you're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, on Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tawaquan at your-poetry.com. We're on SoundCloud and Pinterest, and I'm going to give my shout-outs to the NYPD, the FDNY, SOS Wildlife of India, and the SOS Wildlife period, the ASPCA, North Shore Animal League, people like Pet Pardons. I haven't heard from Pet Pardons in a while, but I'm pretty sure they're still out there. You know, let me just say all animal welfare activists and my brothers and sisters in the military, everybody that listens to me, all of meine Freunde in Deutschland, and yeah. You know, there's going to be, there's some show left. There's a little bit of show left. I just want to say another thing. Why the hell is Trump president of this country? You know, every day that I wake up and I see his face on the news signing some executive order, I freak. I freak. Now, to be honest with you, there are some things that I agree with. There are some things that I agree with. I agree with the wall in Mexico. I agree with it. I agree with restrictions on who comes into the country. I agree with that. But this guy is just, oh boy. And listen, what's that guy's name? David Pac-Man? And it's Melania's Soul? On YouTube, take a look at that. If you take a look at that, That will tell you everything about Donald Trump. He's a madman. You voted him in. Now deal with it. All right, folks. If I'm not back, I'll see you next week.
A man is reunited with his dog after it ran away too scared from what he just witnessed. Chris and Michelle O'Neill were married a little more than 2 years when a deadly car crash split this loving couple apart too soon. Michelle died after investigators say their truck spun out of control after hitting a patch of black ice on the Utah road. That's when Monty ran away from the scene of the accident, leaving Chris alone with no one. After a week-long search, the two found each other again. Not all love is lost after losing the love of his life. For InsideEdition.com, I'm Lee Sheps.
Donald Trump proposed a bold new program to manage immigration into the United States.
We should only admit into this country those who share our values and respect our people. I call it extreme vetting. I call it extreme vetting.
It's like he really thinks the more extremes he puts on it, the more votes he'll get, you know? We're down 6 points in Ohio, so extreme vetting, extreme. Check again, how many? Seven, extreme. The big question is, how widely shared are the values that Trump speaks of amongst Trump supporters? Well, we sent Jordan Klepper to find out.
Donald Trump's new ideological screening test will weed out extremists with
extreme views about religion, such as its oppression of women, gays, and non-believers.
That's right. Trump wants prospective Americans to embrace religious freedom, gender equality, and gay rights. At a recent rally in Wisconsin, his fans were on board.
I am for extreme vetting. I am.
I think it is a good idea.
Extreme vetting. Think that's a good idea?
Of course. He forgot one thing. Just make him eat some bacon.
These guys were pumped about America's values of tolerance, so I knew they'd pass Trump's test with flying colors.
Fill in the blank for me. Two men getting married is blank.
Disgusting.
Actually, the answer is legal in the United States.
Oh, it's legal, but I don't like it.
It's important to believe in, you know, to have respect for everyone's religion.
So you respect Christianity?
I do.
Judaism?
Yes.
Islam?
No.
Can a woman be president?
The presidency is a man's job.
I have women are qualified to be president.
No. A female has more hormones. She could start a war in 10 seconds. If she has hot flashes, whatever, boom.
Haven't all wars been started by men?
Yes.
Do you think a gay couple should have the same rights as a...
No, I don't. I really don't. I don't think it's fair.
To the gay couple?
Well, no, but the regular couple, they work so hard, you know, and the gay couple, they want more.
Do you, when you say more, do you mean equal?
Yeah, they want equal in that.
And that's just too much?
Yeah.
No, that's the wrong answer. Sorry, hold on. Turns out Trump's ideology test was going to be harder than I thought.
Whenever I hear president, I think of man. It's a man's job. What sort of... I may be...
Close-minded.
No, yeah, well, no.
Misogynistic?
No.
You're voting against your own interests.
That's it. Thank you very much.
These extreme nations, they don't treat women with respect.
We treat women with respect here.
Yes, we do.
That's an American ideal.
Yeah.
Tell me about your shirt. What's it say?
It says, Hillary sucks. But not like Monica.
Hilarious. So we were talking about treating women with respect.
It's an American ideal that we treat women with respect.
You got to give me the back of that shirt one more time. That's too much fun.
Trump that bitch!
We don't even see the irony in it. I love it, right?
As passionate as these guys were, they just weren't passing Trump's ideological test. Luckily, there was still time to study.
This will just help you prep for the test. So if you take it again, you'll be more welcome here. This is a DVD of the third season of Will and Grace.
Okay.
It's a really likable and not too gay people. This one is going to be good for you. Gloria Steinem. This really humanizes women.
As us feminists, we have so much work to be done, you know.
You a feminist?
No.
Obviously, extreme vetting was necessary to weed out extremists. But until this plan was in place, were any of us safe?
Are you afraid the extremists are already here right now?
They could be anywhere.
They could be right here.
They could be.
Yeah, they could be over there. They could be that guy or this guy. They could be anybody.
They could be anybody.
Hey there, it's The Daily Show's Trevor Noah. We have our own YouTube channel now, so please do subscribe. I'll wait so you can... I won't even look, just because I know that's weird. Sort of like when a dog's doing its thing. You can just... Yeah, just subscribe. I won't look.